J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
All right, if you've got Comedy Central, you've been watching Letterman or shows like that, you probably know comedian Bill Burr.
I actually love George Bush. I do. You know what I love about George Bush? He makes me feel like I could be president, too. Yeah. No, seriously. He's like the first guy from my reading level, the first guy from my math class, you know? He's just like me. He doesn't like to prepare. You know, that guy gives a speech. He just wings it. Just goes out on the White House lawn like, what are we talking about, hurricanes? All right. There was a hurricane. People are wet. No, he sounds like a little kid giving a book report who, like, didn't read the book. Like, he's just out there just, like, making up stuff. Some little kid out there like, there was a dog, and he bit somebody, and they didn't like it.
How you doing, Bill? Nice to see you. Very funny stuff. Very, very funny stuff. How much of your act do you think is dependent upon your delivery? Because I got to tell you something. You're one of those guys.
Jokes aren't well written.
Because I got to tell you, you're one of those guys who almost sounds like somebody who just jumped up on the stage, you know, and said, like, oh, wait, how did he get up there? Because you don't sound like everybody else who's working right now.
Oh, cool.
That's a compliment, by the way.
I was real nervous as you were getting in there.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky, you're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, February 17th, 2023. Only 41 days now until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jconthewine.com. Boy, I got a million updates and all sorts of stuff that's happened in the last 24 hours since we spoke last. Let's start with Kent Earhart.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome to News for a Great Day, bringing the Mardi Gras into your Friday morning living room. It's going to be a fun one.
I'm bringing the Mardi Gras.
Should we address that?
I'm bringing the Mardi Gras.
Can we talk about this
on TV? I guess we can.
Oh, yeah, we should address that.
What do we even say about it? I don't know.
Works here still.
I started getting Facebook messages.
I got messages
at like
well.
9 o'clock last night saying, man, I heard that Kent's not with KMOV anymore. I'm sorry to hear that.
I don't know where it started. I woke up this morning at 2 a.m. and somebody had asked on Facebook if I had been let go by Channel 4, and I said, well, I'll let you know when I get there if my card doesn't work.
I can't get the garage.
I don't have a gig.
Wow.
But it's a Facebook rumor that someone started, maybe accidentally. I don't know. Maybe it was all well-intentioned, but I will say that some people said some very nice things about me when they thought that I'd been canned, so I appreciate that. I'm very touched by that.
That was very, very nice.
But everything is, as far as I know.
As far as you know.
I've only run into a couple of managers, so I don't know.
Yeah. It could have gotten leaked earlier or something.
Well, it would have been awfully mean. It would have been awfully mean to do it today, because as it turns out, it's a random acts of kindness day. So, that went away.
I mean, the Cardinals let that kid go on his 30th birthday.
Well, that's true. Mm. Listen, business.
You know, I'm really careful about the stuff that I post. I take a lot of pride in making sure that the stuff I put up is true and it's accurate. You know, get reeled in on stuff. The last time I really got hoodwinked was 12 years ago. And that was on the Albert Pujols thing. And this explanation and this information is not for the haters and the people who are just, oh, JC made a mistake, let's jump off halfway up his ass. This is for people who want to know really how this stuff ends up happening and how you hear or don't hear things that I either talk about here or post on my Facebook page. And there are people out there who just, you know, are waiting in the weeds and they wait for you to fuck something up and then they jump all over you. And I'm like, well, that's about par for the course. That's the way things are these days. But I guess more fair to be judged by my successes instead of my failures, but that's just me. I mean, for God's sakes, we had a world exclusive on the death of Tom Petty. What was that, like 7 years ago? We had it hours before anybody else had it. It was just dumb luck because a good friend of mine from St. Louis, who is a photographer and works in the entertainment business in Los Angeles, has been a friend of Tom Petty and his entourage for a long time. And she was standing right outside his hospital room. And she's like, "No, he's not coming back. He's out. He's dead." I go, "Well, because the reports are," she goes, "fuck the reports. I'm standing right here. He's dead." And, you know, we were very early on the death of Chuck Berry and Jerry Berger, Dick Ford. We've told you about concerts and shows and big developments in the entertainment industry and in sports and stuff like that. We've been doing that for years, and it's because I have good sources. I got people, it's interesting. There's people who are in usually an employment situation. They can't do anything with the information they have. If they do, they'll get fired. And also, they don't have the forum that I have here with the podcast and our thousands and thousands of people who follow us on the internet, and also very soon, obviously, with the new radio station. So there's so they give the information to me knowing that it will get out there. So here's what happened last night. I'm really glad I did publish it as a rumor. You know, I never said Ken Arhan was fired. I said that there's this rumor going around, and I don't know if it's true, but this thing is really circulating. Apparently what happened yesterday morning or the day before on that Great Day show that they do after the news in the morning, and they sit around for an hour and discuss, you know, Vegematics and stuff like that. So Hediger has been off for the last couple of weeks on maternity leave, and she came back in the studio for the first time after having the baby. And Kent, as he always does, you have to understand something about Ken Earhart. He's one of the funniest people I know, and he's very, very quick. And in a situation like that where you're sitting there for an hour every day, it really helps if you can joke around. And he's really, really a smart, very, very funny, very, very quick guy. So, of course, the way the business is now, it's very easy to understand why people would believe that you would take the most the most talented person on the entire television station and throw him out the door. Because that's how things are now. You stand there and you go, "What?" Well, apparently Kent, as he always does, makes some comments on Great Day the other day that were, you know, now some people use the word naughty or suggestive, or there's other people who think, I can't believe what he said to her. He made some crack about her bra size or something. But, I mean, that's what they do on that show, and it's all in good fun, and they all like each other. Nothing is, you know, nothing's creepy or ugly or anything like that. He's making wisecracks. He does a really good job at it. And again, this is a guy who's primarily a weatherman, but, you know, I guess they were like, "Okay, who's here? We got a new show starting Monday. You, come here. You're the new co-host of this show." That's really sort of how it gets done. They just look around and see who's in the building. I didn't see this. I only heard about it. But apparently Kent made some comments, and some people, you know, pulled back from their television like, whoa, what did he just say? And then later on, apparently he made reference. He said something like, "You know, I could be in trouble. I don't know." But he's just kidding around. He's kidding around. So then stuff started popping up on social media. You know, did Kent Earhart get fired? And I start getting these things last night. I'm like, "Well, wait a minute. What are you talking about?" And you know, the information that I just told you starts coming towards me. And so I check the status of his social media, and it says, "Worked at KMOV, past tense." And that's when I started to say, whoa, there might be something to this. So that's what I put up last night. It's like, there's a rumor going around, and, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that KMOV would do something that stupid. I mean, they can't even spell there, so why would they stop there with the stupidity, right? Now, what you want to do in a situation like this is check your sources. Well, you can't check any sources at the TV station because it's, you know, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and the management is, they went home 4 or 5 hours ago. And you can't talk to Kent because Kent goes to bed at like 6:45 at night because his alarm goes off at like 3 a.m. Actually, I think he's got to be at work at 3 a.m. because they go on at 4 and you need at least an hour just to sort of, first of all, wake up and get your makeup on. And then, you know, start preparing a weather forecast and the weather maps with all the computers and everything. So, you know, he's in bed by 6:30, 6:45 every night, so you can't call him. So I just figure, okay, I'm going to go with the story in that I will say it is a rumor that's going around. Well, it was interesting as people lost their shit. I wish I was as popular as Ken Earhart, let's put it that way, because people went nuts. I'll never watch that television station again. Anyhow, the long and the short of it is I get a ding at like, 3 in the morning, and it's Ken. And he's like, this is news to me. I mean, my key still worked to get into the station, and my parking space was there, and I'm still on the station website. So, and we just had a laugh about it, so I sent him a note back on. So, can you just explain one thing, though? Because I think this is one of the things that complicated the story last night, and that is that your status on Facebook says that you worked at KMOV, past tense. And he's like, I didn't even know it said that. It's been like that for years, and I didn't even know. Nobody's ever brought it up before. So anyhow, we had a good laugh in the middle of the night. I went back to sleep. He went to work, and that's the end of that. That Bill Burr thing that I played at the beginning of the show, we were still at K-Hits at the time, and I caught his act real early on. That's the other thing that I'm very proud of myself on, is that we spot people early on when they're just starting to break through, and we get them on, because as they become more popular, it becomes more difficult to get them on, all right? But this is one of those cases where I'm like, this is one of the funniest guys I've seen come out now in quite a while. So we had him in the studio. There's a thing I saw a little bit of yesterday. Somebody had sent it to me, and it was a little podcast thing that Bill Burr was doing with Bill Maher. And these guys were going at it. You know, Bill Maher will do that, though. He even does that on his own show. He brings people onto the show and then gets really shitty with them. Arguments that are not polite conversation, they're really getting on one another. And there were points in this thing, it's about maybe a half an hour, they call it a podcast, but it's like everybody feels like they got to do video now, too. I don't understand that. I don't know why you got to be on the screen. There's 100 things that I can think of off the top of my head that I would not be able to do, even on a podcast, let alone a radio show, if there was video involved. And by the way, to me, there's nothing more boring than just watching a guy in a radio studio picking his nose while the music is playing and then getting ready to put his headphones on and start talking again. This, to me, is not exciting video. I don't do it. I have no plans to do it, and that's that. But anyhow, like I said, now Bill Maher, by the way, is a really good show tonight. Listen to this. Who we were just talking about a couple of days ago, Christoph Waltz. This, to me, I watch anything this guy's in. Anything. If he's in a Rob Schneider movie, I would still watch it because I just think the guy's amazing. I have seen him in some movies that most people haven't even seen. Inglourious Basterds, where he's got Brad Pitt and BJ Novak tied to the chair, and they're talking about ending the war tonight. And even earlier on in that movie, where he comes into that farmhouse because he thinks he's the people are hiding Jews underneath the floor of the house. I mean, this is remarkable stuff. Remarkable stuff. So he's on tonight. And also Sarah Isker, she worked for Ted Cruz for a while. And then Ari Melber from MSNBC. It's a damn good show. But Bill's he's just not a pleasant guy to be around. I don't know how else to tell you. He's just not a pleasant guy to be around. To the victors go the spoils. Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs is going to be hosting Saturday Night Live on March 4th. I had to look at that twice because it was like, March? March? Yeah, it's almost March. So again, he's going to do the show on, he's the 13th former NFL player to host the show. Anyhow, March 4th, you can watch for that. First spring training game for the Cardinals is a week from today down in Jupiter, Florida. And, you know, this is the first year that they're going to have these restrictions on shifts in the infield, you know, where somebody's a left-handed hitter and he only pulls the ball, so they bring everybody to the right side of the infield. You can't do that anymore. So some people in Major League Baseball are already talking about how they're going to get around this, because the rule is that the position players in the infield all have to be where they're supposed to be. And you can't bring them all the way around to the other side of the infield. So now, here's a diagram here. I'm going to put this up later. It's a diagram, and it shows the third baseman where he is. Shortstop standing pretty much behind second, which is as far as he can go now. Second base in first place, where they're supposed to be, right field where that guy's supposed to be, but the left fielder comes all the way over and gets on the outer skin of the infield, on the dirt, you know, between the dirt and the outfield, gets over there behind second base, and then the center fielder has to cover everything from the left field foul line all the way over to basically right center field. There's a Sports Illustrated writer by the name of Stephanie Epstein, and her suggestion is that teams that are considering signing free agents, especially those with character questions, should call the player's ex-wife or ex-girlfriend and say, "Why are you an ex?" Story goes on, certainly a player's conduct around women in his past is as relevant as whatever the single A clubhouse is going to say, and they do call that guy too in background checks. I do know people that have a comfortable, shall we say, comfortable relationship with their ex. I don't. I have ex-girlfriends who I'm still on wonderful terms with, but not the marriage thing. So I don't know how fair that is. Also depends sometimes on who left who. On a very serious note, you may recall a couple of days ago, I was talking about a gal who was part of our group, I guess you would say it that way. Karen Kelly, my old co-host and producer, a gal by the name of Julie Lolly, who is responsible for probably half the guests that appear on radio and television in St. Louis, a PR maven, handful of other people we used to, you know, hang out like on Thursday night, occasionally on a weekend. Rose was the life of the party, a big buxom redhead who was a great laugher and just, you know, really, really fun to be around. And a couple of years ago, she got this, what we called, you know, we considered a mystery disease that I had never even heard of, because everybody is familiar with dementia and Alzheimer's and ALS. Well, there's this thing out there that is sort of a combination of all three. I mean, Alzheimer's is bad enough. Frontotemporal dementia. And it has a devastating effect on people because they become apathetic. They become difficult to understand. They have difficulty understanding other things. It's like if you went around the back of your television and your computer and just pulled out three or four wires and then expected the thing to work properly. It might work a little bit, but some things that your television and your computer used to do, it won't be able to do anymore because the wires are disconnected, and that's the best way I can describe this thing. So Rose succumbed to that a couple of weeks ago. Now, this disease that I had never even heard of before, turns out that's what Bruce Willis has, as the family got an update on his medical condition, and this is really, really bad news because for anybody who thought, well, maybe it's something he can beat. Now, there's no cure. There's not even any treatment for this. And I guess from the time that you are diagnosed to the time that your body just stops functioning is about 3 years. So if you go by that, outlook is not good for Bruce Willis. Don Lemon's got a little problem over at CNN. He had to apologize for saying on the air yesterday that a woman in her prime is in her 20s and 30s and 40s, but not in her 50s. He had to come back and say that his comments were inartful and irrelevant and hurtful and all that sort of stuff. And I'm not backing down from this thing about Raquel Welch. I've got even more people jumping halfway up my ass over this whole thing. And I honest to God, I swear they're not reading it properly. There's some sort of reading comprehension problem here because I've looked at it 100 times now and I'm still comfortable with what I said, which is basically, well, I mean, it was a defense of Raquel Welch's choice to age gracefully instead of having all this plastic surgery and trying to look. Yeah, I mean, did you see Joan Rivers before she died? Do you see Priscilla Presley right now? Cher, for God's sakes? These people don't even look like what, you know. Anyhow, I was defending Raquel Welch, who at 82, in pictures that most people never saw because they keep publishing these gorgeous photographs of Raquel Welch. The only problem is they're from 20 years ago. And somebody finally posted some recent pictures because she didn't come out of the house for 2 years. What do you think that was, huh? For somebody who her entire life has felt the pressure of, you know, being a sex symbol. Now you're 82 years old and you're wrinkled and you're heavy and your boobs are down around your waist. And maybe she just, you know, felt too much pressure and was like, I don't want to go out in public. I don't want people to see me this way. I mean, that must be horrible. It must be horrible to think, well, two years in the house and that's not pandemic related. So again, to be clear, I was defending Raquel Welch's choice not to be one of these people who ends up like a freak, looking like unrecognizable with a giant wad of skin all tightened up and screwed into the back of her neck because she had 17 facelifts. So again, not only am I, you know, pulling back from that, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm doubling down on this because I actually had this in my notes a couple of months ago and never got to it. I happen to think Ashley Graham, the plus-sized model, I think she is devastatingly attractive. That woman is gorgeous. She's also big, and I mean really big. And again, we have a situation where we're being told, look how wonderful it is to be a plus-sized model. And not just a plus-sized model, a plus-sized woman. Look how beautiful you can be. And out comes Ashley Graham, and it's like, oh, God, she's pretty. And then, eventually, the same thing happened. A bunch of unretouched, non-photoshopped pictures of her, particularly from behind, started to surface. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a man or a woman, if you're tall, skinny, fat, whatever. I don't think you'd find many people upon seeing these unretouched, non-photoshopped pictures of her from behind. I don't think anybody would say, oh boy, that isn't that beautiful. And I still think she's a knockout. You know, I just wouldn't look at her from behind. I just probably wouldn't do that. So again, it's hypocrisy. They're telling everybody, look how you can be as big as Ashley Graham is, and she is big. I stopped myself from saying huge, by the way, but she is very, very big. So on one hand, they're telling you, look how beautiful you can be, even if you're a plus-sized woman. But then when you find out the truth, you find out this stuff has all been photoshopped and smoothed over, which leaves me with the question, well, which one is it? Is it okay to be that big or is it not? Because if it is, then you don't have to Photoshop the pictures. And if it's not, don't tell me it is. See, the problem here is that it's all issues regarding women, not men. And that's the problem from the comments. And again, 90% of the people who have responded on this, I know exactly what you mean, JC. I've had this discussion with my wife or my husband or whatever. And you know, it's an unusually, in some way, I guess you would say, bold position to have to say publicly. But when it comes right down to it, you're absolutely right. But here's a problem that is, I think, prevalent with any, I guess you'd say, minority group. And you can't really call women minorities anymore because there's more women in the United States of America now than there are men. So they're not treated in many ways like a minority, but numerically they're not. But you understand what I'm getting at here. But this probably has as much to do with the civil rights movement and Black Lives Matter right on through the LGBTQ community. Is that you can't say anything that deviates from everybody in these groups are perfect. Nobody ever makes a mistake. Nobody ever overstates their case. Everybody in every minority group is perfect. And if you say anything short of that, they draw a target on your back. And this is what has happened to me for the last couple of days now. I'm getting a little tired of it because I think it's horribly misguided. It's unfair. I'm getting a little pissed off. I realize, and again, based on the outpouring of emotion on social media last night when the word came out that Tim McCarver passed away, I know there's been sort of a visceral reaction to the death of Tim McCarver, and this is a big part of a lot of people's childhoods, a lot of baseball fans. I got to read you this one story. Hold on here. Yeah, here it is. It's from Daniel Descalzo. From Daniel Descalzo, who was a great utility guy for the Cardinals up until a couple of years ago. I think everybody remembers him. Here's the story. This is what he posted. Tim McCarver mispronounced my last name a couple of times, and I told him my grandmother wasn't happy with him. He asked for her number, called her to apologize, and had a nice conversation with her. She got a kick out of it, and he always asked me about her after that. R.I.P. Tim. Like I said, because I don't want to get in any more fights this week, I'm going to withhold my feelings about Tim McCarver, which are not as flowery as a lot of people's are. Many times I saw Tim, shall we say, in action when there wasn't anybody around, where I certainly wondered about why he wouldn't have made better choices. But he loved baseball. That just, you know, came out of his pores all of the time. People have extremely fond memories about him from the teams back in the 1960s. And, you know, I had several conversations with him, and they were all very, very entertaining.
Now the stretch. Ready, everybody standing up. The pitch. A high pop foul. The Carver's there. The Cardinals won the pennant. The Cardinals won the pennant. The Cardinals won the pennant. Everybody out. Johnny. Everybody congratulating everybody. I don't know if they'll ever get here. I don't know if they'll ever get here. The Cardinals have just won the pennant. Mayhem on the field. Joe Schultz, congratulations. Hey, Ray Washburn. Bob Skinner.
Carver, you sounded like you were about 15 years old right there.
I think I was. And that is the truth. Theretofore, that was the greatest moment in my life when I made the catch with the oversized catcher's mitt that Barney Schultz brought in when he saved that game against the Mets.
Yeah, the book is out, and it is called Tim McCarver's Baseball for Brain Surgeons and Other Fans, Understanding and Interpreting the Game so You Can Watch It Like a Pro. You know, Tim, when they talk about watching football, they say the biggest mistake that people make is they never take their eye off the ball, and some of the most intricate and interesting parts of the game are the things that happen away from the ball. In your estimation, what are the errors that people make when they watch a baseball game?
I was at a Mets-Astro game last night. I was not broadcasting, and I went out to left field. I was talking to a writer about the book, as a matter of fact, and I said, watch the shortstop and the third baseman before the pitch is on the way, and watch how they get ready to field and anticipate a ground ball to them on every play. I think that's an example of the symmetry in baseball that you can see in some of the balletic moves that that baseball players make that are away from the ball.
I want to talk about the book some more, but I want to get to your playing days in the 1960s here in St. Louis. I want to talk about off the field. What do you recall about life in St. Louis in the 60s? And when you visit here in the 1990s, how does St. Louis seem different to you? In other words, I guess what I'm talking about is, well, you know, who did you hang out with? Where did you guys hang out when you would relax after a baseball game?
That's a very interesting question, JC. In those days, some of the places, Gaslight Square was. I was single at the time, and
that makes all the difference in the world.
It certainly does. Gaslight Square was one place. Rossino's was an Italian restaurant that's still there. I think it's still on Sarah, right off Lindell.
Yep.
And the Stoplight Restaurant in East St. Louis, every Sunday after a doubleheader, and in those days you'd play a doubleheader on Sunday, and Monday was an off day, and of course we were playing at Sportsman's Park. We didn't move into the new stadium until 1966. And Dick Grote and Ernie Broglio in 63 would go over and talk baseball. And that's really, I think the Stoplight Restaurant, I learned more about baseball in the major leagues than I learned probably in any clubhouse in the major leagues. A lot of great memories for me about that terrific baseball town. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Tim McCarver.
The obituary even ended up on the network news last night on NBC and CBS. Pretty impressive.
Oh!
I know this doesn't affect anybody, but it's just a little interesting sidebar to the story. Remember, I guess it was Monday on the podcast, I was talking about the fact that we got invited to a soft opening of a new restaurant in our neighborhood, sort of just bordering on upscale, and beautiful building and inside just gorgeous. One whole wall is just glass, so you can sort of watch the world go by. Real open floor plan, beautiful bar. And so they said, yeah, we're doing a soft opening on the weekend, so why don't you come in on Saturday? So we did on Saturday, and we went in, and really it was sort of a mess. And again, this is, you know, bordering upscale here, you know, and people all dressed up and everything. And I'm talking about the servers and the management and everything. So we weren't, we're pigs. But anyhow, so we go in there and I ordered a steak sandwich. And when it came, it wasn't a steak sandwich. It was some sort of sliced beef thing. And it had no sauce of any kind on it. It was basically bread, some sort of green, I don't know if it was parsley or kale or whatever. And then meat. So that was sort of odd. So the restaurant manager comes over. He's like, how's your meal? I go, okay. He goes, what'd you order? I said, the steak sandwich. He looks, goes, that's not a steak sandwich. Well, that's what I thought. So then he brings me a steak sandwich to take home. And then he said, why don't you pick out a dessert too? I go, well, you got key lime pie. So, you know, I'll take the key lime pie. So they put it in one of those styrofoam things. Put it in the bag, and I got home, and it wasn't key lime pie. It was cheesecake. So two mistakes just on my order alone. So this morning, here in the local news, first thing I see is they fired the guy. He wasn't even at work a week. They said he's gone, and all of his recipes are gone. That's pretty brutal. That is pretty brutal. Jesus, I hope they didn't use our situation as the reason for letting him go. It's all I need. A story you'll probably see something on over the course of the next couple of days as this lawsuit against Fox News. It was like a $2 billion lawsuit against the Fox News channel filed by the people, the Dominion people, the people who make the voting machines. And, you know, Fox News was all over Dominion saying that, you know, Trump says it's corrupt. Trump says the machines didn't work on. And Dominion was like, well, that's about enough of that. They filed the lawsuit, and now in little dribs and drabs, there's information now that they have texts, they have emails, they've got recorded messages with the stars of Fox News, a la Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, people like that, openly commenting to one another, talking about how insane Trump and his people were while this was all going on. Then they'd turn right around, get on camera, and say the exact opposite. From everybody I talk to, Fox News is in deep, deep shit. And also in deep shit is Bally Sports. Bally Sports, the whole chain of Bally Sports stations throughout the country, on the verge of declaring bankruptcy. And don't worry, you'll still see the games. MLB has already said that if Bally Sports goes belly up, which they are going to, they'll pick up the games and you'll just get them in some other way. But it's not like, oh my God, Bally Sports goes bankrupt, we won't be able to see the Cardinals this year. No, that ain't going to happen. Had my second back surgery on this date back in 1995. That was a party. In 1989 on this date, we arrived back from London and our shows that we did at the Abbey Road Studios in London, England on the Beatles' silver anniversary. 93 on this date, the debut of The Point, which was right across the hallway from us when I worked at The River back in the 90s. Tomorrow, the 25th anniversary of the death of Harry Carey in 1998. In 1988, I was in Los Angeles. This was interesting. There was a movie called Switching Channels, which was a remake of an old movie from the 40s. But anyhow, it starred Kathleen Turner and Christopher Reeve, and they hated one another. They despised one another so much so that when they did the interviews, Kathleen Turner refused to even be in the same hotel as Christopher Reeve and the other people from the movie. So I'm doing all these interviews with all the stars of the movie, and then it's like, come out of this room, and there's a TV set up. And I interviewed her via satellite from about three blocks away, Hollywood. What else we got? Oh, 99, Office Space released, only one of the greatest movies in the history of cinema. On this date in 2014, my last trip to Jamaica. My next trip to Jamaica will be my 14th. And I'm looking forward to that very, very soon. And a story I'm going to have to hold on to until next week because I'm running long here today and I don't want to bore you, but it's one of the best stories I have involving a trip to Saturday Night Live on a night where something very important happened while Saturday Night Live was in the making, shall we say. But I'm going to have to save that till next week because, like I said, we're running really long here today. And it looks like the weather is going to moderate a little bit. And I did want to save at least a little time to get you in the mood for the Mardi Gras stuff.
I went on down to the Audubon Zoo and they all asked for you. They all asked for you.
For who?
Well, they even inquired about you. I went on down to the Audubon Zoo and they all asked for you. The monkey's ass, the tiger's ass, and the elephant asked me too.
It's really amazing. You go to New Orleans for your first trip there, and you hear this music just booming around all over the streets of the French Quarter.
Mardi Gras, mambo, mambo, mambo. Mardi Gras, mambo, mambo, mambo. Mardi Gras, mambo. Down in New Orleans.
So even though it's ice cold in St. Louis today, it looks like the temperature is going to moderate a little bit for the festivities tomorrow and again on Sunday. So enjoy your weekend. That is it. The J.C. Corcoran Podcast, Friday, February 17th, 2023, 41 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. I'll be off on Monday for President's Day, back on Tuesday. Don't forget, you can email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com, Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran.
Mardi Gras, mambo, 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 Mardi Gras.
J.C. Corcoran Podcast.